Another good morning and welcome, welcome to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair, Greg Bach, Calvin Butenhoff coming to you live from our studio in sunny downtown Waukesha. You can always join us. You can call, you can text, same number, 855-752-4842, or leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and or Twitter. Coming up at 11:33, we're going to lighten things up a little bit. 4th of July is on Thursday. Welcome to the first day of July. Want to know, what are your 4th of July traditions? What has to be on the table when you're serving? Where do you go watch fireworks? What is your family's thing? We used to play jarts. There were six of us. They figured if they lost a couple, that would be okay. That's coming up at 11:33. What are your July 4th traditions? We're going to start off, though. He is with Wisconsin for Environmental Justice. Dean Muller is our guest, and we're going to talk about the cost of cleaning up our environment. Good morning, Dean. Thank you so very much for joining us.
Good morning, and thank you for having me.
Absolutely. Tell us, first of all, Dean, about Wisconsin for Environmental Justice. What does your organization do?
We were organized as a nonprofit a mere 2 years ago, and our efforts are to create a statewide coalition of individuals and organizations of all types, social justice organizations, environmental groups. When to draw in the farmers, the sports people like to hunt and fish, the tribes, young people, etc. Any and all, you know, we all, you know, anybody who breathes the air and drinks the water or whatever, you know, have a stake in this. So we wanted to bring them all together. And certainly our thrust was to continue to educate the public regarding the connection between fossil fuel and climate change. And I realized that, majority of the people, according to surveys, indicate that they understand that connection, but you know, there's that it's caused by human activities. There's some people out there, a quarter of the population, that still think it's just kind of a happenstance. It's a seasonal type thing. It will soon pass or whatever. So, yeah. So anyway, there's been some misinformation peddled. That's for sure.
Just slightly. I want to say that one of the current presidential nominees just said, in a speech, I think it was on Saturday, that climate change is a hoax and the climate is fine and everything is fine and it's all good and it's not good. And we touched on this briefly in the first hour, Dean, about Hurricane Beryl, which is now forming around the islands, the Caribbean islands. And this is the earliest we have ever had a Category 4 hurricane in the hurricane season. This is not a good indicator of how things are going.
Right. We're seeing a lot of first evers, you know, like the tornado in February, tornadoes in this kind in this state in February, for example, or the warmest winter ever or in a very long time. A very warm summer and I guess a warm, dry summer last year. And maybe this is going to be the warm monsoon summer. We'll see how it continues to play out. But certainly there's changes out there that I think people can see, feel, and touch. And then there's obviously a lot of subtle things that escape our notice and understanding. So, yeah.
But I think, too, I think it's so important that you're talking to farmers and to sportsmen, because if anybody's going to see the effect of this firsthand, it's those kinds of folks who are working the land and who are out hunting and fishing and seeing the ramifications of not taking action.
Right. And there was a story in the journal yesterday, the $25 million tourist industry. And of course, it's been on the increase, yes, from the COVID period of time. But that's a big, big chunk of change for this state. And we can only cite what happened in northern Wisconsin as one example of how much the tourism industry was affected because of the lack of snow. You know, the Berkey was limited, you know, the spear fishing on Lake Winnebago, you know, and of course that lake freezes over and they drive across it during the wintertime. So a lot of things are changing. And I know that the tourism folks from up north were soliciting the state for some type of assistance so that they can make it another season. So,
It was tough, not only just coming out of COVID. And then now we have these climate changes to have to deal with. We talked to people from the Berkey when they were trying to figure out how they were going to handle this because of the lack of snow. And no, it's not normal. And this doesn't just happen. And it's not. Yes, the climate has changed considerably over the decades and decades and decades. But I don't know. The vast majority of scientists kind of agree that man is responsible for this warm up. They're not just some wacky.
You're absolutely right.
They're not
You're
just wacky.
Right.
They're just not wacky people with no experience who are just saying. I always think back to, and I can't think of the congressman's name, who brought a snowball into the House. And I don't think it was last year, but it might have been the year before. And he holds up the snowball and said, look, there's snow. There's no climate change. This is the proof. That's not how it works.
No, no, it's not how it works. And I think somebody's whispering in his ear, but that's a whole another issue or story to tell. But yes, it is. I mean, are we in Wisconsin now and we're supposed to have, I mean, like last summer was a rough summer in terms of air. I mean, we're supposed to. So now let me get this straight. We're supposed to I understand we're supposed to stay indoors a bit more during the wintertime, but now we're supposed to stay indoors during the summertime because the air is so bad because of the smoke, whatever. And yeah, whatever. Yeah.
Well, that was something that happened last year with the Canadian wildfires. Is a question I had was, is this now just something that happens? Do we now expect the red smoke, the plumes to come down through our state? And we tell our kids and our grandkids, yep, those are the wildfires coming our way. Just that's been happening most of my life. You know, now it's just something we're used to.
Right. And there's the zombie fires and all that sort of stuff that go on during the wintertime. Yes, yes. Things are changing and changing dramatically. And certainly that's one of the things we want to get in front of people and voters and office holders and so forth is to, again, solidify and clarify that connection. Really important. Really important. Yes.
Dean Miller.
And make it a Thanksgiving Day conversation. Mm-hmm. We need to talk about this, you know, when we're, you know, having lighthearted conversation or talking about sports or whatever. We need to bring this up. And talk about it and see what we can do to bring about change.
Well, closing our eyes and putting our fingers in our ears is not the answer. That is not going to help. Dean Muller is our guest. He's with Wisconsin for Environmental Justice. And we're talking about, obviously, the change in climate and how important it is. I think most Wisconsinites easily agree that conservation of our natural resources is a really important thing. It's something that's very, very close to our hearts. That we find very important. So let's talk about some of the costs, Dean.
Yes. One of the things that we released a week or so ago was a cost study that we commissioned through the Center for Climate Integrity, which basically took a very detailed look at the state of Wisconsin and the amount of money that it would take for the next 16 years to address some of the issues or some of the fallout that we're seeing that has been caused by climate change. And I've had, you know, some good friends whose opinions I respect, and they've looked at this report and they said there's really not much in here you can quibble about. It is very fact-based, a lot of scientific data. I mean, hey, you know, we all know, I mean, the report goes on for like 70 pages, but the first 36 pages of the report, the rest is footnotes, for crying out
loud. Wow.
So it is very detailed and very well documented. And of course, a lot of this information was already out there, but it's collecting it and putting it in one place and focusing specifically on the state of Wisconsin in terms of the total dollars. So it's $16 billion over the next 16 years is what the number comes out to be. And there's 12 categories that they focused on, but there's actually 66 in total that could have been included in the report. But they only focused on basically the higher ticket items, which was the 12. And if any case, it's probably an understatement of what the cost would be.
$16.7 billion.
Yep.
And that's not 20 years. That's in over 16 years. And right. Dean, when we're talking about, are we talking about ramifications from increased flooding, tornado damage, those kinds of things?
The major storm things were not included in this report. The tornado expenses and that sort of thing. But one of the top category was stormwater management, close to $7 billion. Then you get into following that. You get road maintenance, et cetera. I mean, you know, an example of that, I think it was just last week, we saw some road buckling in the Fox Valley area. Yep. Well, those are the types of things that would fit into this cost study. And, of course, one of the things the cost study emphasized is that proactiveness on the part of governmental bodies, in other words, making improvements in roads that would be able to withstand extreme heat and changes in temperature, to withstand that would actually cost far less. But we also know that governments tend not to respond or in a proactive manner. They tend to see a problem and when it occurs and then try to fix it then, which would cost less. But one of the interesting things that was near the top of the list in terms of a cost is tree canopy. And think about that when you go down some of the city streets in some of our cities and you see this nice green canopy across the top, you know, it's, you know, a nice shade. It's obviously a positive experience. It's taking, you know, carbon out of the atmosphere, right, for sure, but it's also providing some shading and obviously, you know, creates a better situation as far as keeping the houses cool and so forth. So that was certainly a focus of the report. So those are some of the top line items that come to mind here. And, you know, we can get into some of the other things too that I think are very practical in terms of air conditioning for public buildings. You know, that's a key cost too that the report cited. So,
well, we're going to go to a short break, Dean, and then we will come back and talk more about some of the costs involved in dealing with the fossil fuel industry and the climate change that we're all dealing with firsthand. Dean Muller is our guest with Wisconsin for Environmental Justice. I hope you'll stay with us. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. She don't mean no harm, she just don't know what else to do about it. Change. Good morning. Welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Dr. Slide is on the board. You can join us. You can call. You can text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. We are joined by Dean Muller. He is with Wisconsin for Environmental Justice. And we're looking at some reports. Wisconsin facing rising costs from heat, floods, coastal erosion, public health threats made worse by climate change. They conducted a study, the first attempt to calculate the price tag for 9 climate adaptation measures and 3 climate-induced public health threats in Wisconsin. And Dean, I jumped over to climateintegrity.org that you worked with on this report, and you can actually break this down to municipalities.
Yes.
That's amazing. So they have ranked Excel spreadsheets with climate costs for each municipality in Wisconsin, and we will put a link to that in our show notes. So you can take a look and check it your own town, wherever you are in the state.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Mm-hmm. And I guess if I could summarize some of the findings that you'll see there is, you know, what are we going to call it? Road improvements for XYZ, you know, county or city, whatever. Say they have a budget, annual budget of 1X. And the report basically points in some cases the cost for what we're talking about here could be 2X. Twice as much, or at least as much as what they're currently spending. So it will have a significant impact on municipal, on county budgets. And of course, the focus of we're trying to create this dialogue and increase the understanding among obviously taxpayers and elected officials, because, you know, cities and counties are on the front lines of dealing with this, and they don't have the money to deal with it. And so the question is, you know, how are we going to do to fund it? You know, I think that we've had a lot of support out of this administration. You know, so some people might criticize the, I mean, let me back up for a minute. We need energy. We're not trying to put energy and, you know, fossil fuel companies.
Let's go back to candles. No.
Yeah, no, exactly. We don't want to live in caves either. We don't want to go on a lifelong camping trip or whatever with, you know, but anyway, my point is that we need energy but it needs to be green energy. We need to make this transition. And, That is the sum and substance of it, and it needs to be reliable. It needs to be, you know, consistent. It, you know, we're in a situation right now where, I mean, that's about 156 years ago when we plugged our first hole in the ground and started extracting oil and gas and coal out of the ground, and it was put there 150 million years ago. And, you know, we're going to reach a point where we exhaust that. That's why we're fracking and trying to everything possible and exploring into the Antarctic and so forth. It's getting more difficult to find. It is not a sustainable model. My background is business and investing. This is not a sustainable model. It's not going to last forever. So we need to find alternatives. And of course, we need to, you know, obviously stimulate that type of activity. And I think this administration has done a great job of doing that and getting money out. I've been told that for every dollar that has come out of Washington in the Infrastructure Act or the IRA, for every dollar that has come out, there's been $5 of private money that has stepped up and matched that.
Wow.
That's a huge movement of money in the right direction here in terms of, and yes, there's going to be profit to be made. There's going to be money to be made. There's going to be business opportunities, et cetera. That's how the capitalist system works. But that overlay of government intervention and support is always necessary. And you might also go back to the fossil fuel industry, which currently gets a $7 trillion subsidy, which of course would be a good start to roll that back and get it, you know, but that's a tall tale because that's baked into the tax law. And of course the green stuff is always a sunset, you know, we got to come back and decide again, scratch our heads and say, is this a good thing? And should we continue doing it again? This is the first time in this country we've had an industrial policy that really is coherent and broad-based of bringing the jobs back, the manufacturing, et cetera. And that, to me, is just a breath of fresh air that we just need to continue to maintain and build on. That's yeah, absolutely.
You said the word $7 trillion, and it just sounds like to me you could, you know, maybe take a $1 trillion away. Just a measly trillion. That's Staples. We don't need it. Just take a trillion and use it for these types of projects, these types of expenditures, and you could fund them for how long?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, absolutely. It would be a huge, and it will take massive amounts of money to move this thing in the right direction. There's no question about it. Money is going to make it happen. It always comes down to money. Yeah. And where's that money going, and is it going in the right direction? Absolutely.
Dean Muller.
And we as taxpayers and citizens need to make sure that happens. Yeah. Absolutely.
Dean Muller is with Wisconsin for Environmental Justice, and we're talking about some of the costs involved if we do not start addressing climate change and its effects on our environment and our water and our farmers and everything. Dean, when you are talking to people, I'm curious, where do you get the most pushback from? Who is giving you the most pushback about this? Other than oil company executives, who I'm pretty sure would not be for this.
I think the response we have gotten from people has been outstanding. I mean, they appreciate the fact that we're pushing this issue, bringing it to the fore, not to take the thunder away from any of the other marvelous social justice and environmental groups that are out there, but this is our focus. Some of them focus on legislative approaches to the situation. You know, our focus is a bit different in terms of education and particularly making this connection between fossil fuel and climate change. I guess the thing that I continue to emphasize, maybe a different way of answering your question, is sometimes we need to come back to what are our shared values in this state? What do we value?
Yes.
And
yes.
I think we all live here for, you know, the four seasons for starters. the outdoor beauty of this state and so forth. And we want to preserve this pristine quality of this state. And of course, I mean, let's talk a minute about, you know, the fact that this state has a wonderful environmental heritage going back to John Muir and all the way up to Senator Nelson and beyond. So we need to focus on that and not be at loggerheads regarding this. We need to come together on this and not quibble about it and find some common solutions, because it's a big problem that's staring us in the face.
I highly encourage you to check out their website. We will include it in our show notes. Give Greg about 45 minutes to get those posted, and we'll include all the links, including where you can get this Excel spreadsheet that has a climate cost for every municipality in Wisconsin, so you can check out the costs for your own town and city. That will be in the show notes after the show is over. Dean Muller with Wisconsin for Environmental Justice. Really appreciate your time this morning, sir. Thank you so very much.
Thank you. Thank you.
Stay close. News is coming up next. And then when we return, your 4th of July family traditions. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. Good morning and welcome. Welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, the Calvinator on the board, coming to you from our studio in downtown Waukesha. You can join us, you can call, you can text. Same number, 855-752-4842. That's 855-75-CIVIC. Leave a comment if you're listening on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, or the platform that Elon continues to actively ruin. Our guest, who just joined us in the previous half hour, Dean Muller, is with Wisconsin for Environmental Justice. And we were talking about the cost of climate change and how that's going to essentially affect every municipality across the country and around the world, essentially, as these extreme climate conditions continue, either drought or floods or tornadoes or heat, you know, roads buckling due to the heat. And we were talking again about the fossil fuel industry. He points out, oil companies get a subsidy of $3 trillion.
Seven.
I'm sorry. Oh, I'm way lowballing it.
Yeah.
$7 trillion. Texter says, I find it fascinating that climate change deniers dismiss fossil fuel companies making billions of dollars, but they're suspicious of scientists who make thousands of dollars doing climate research.
Yeah.
Climate scientists aren't getting rich.
And groups like Dean's, Wisconsin
for Environmental Justice.
Thank you very much. They have the rock to push up the mountain, which is to say, we need to do this thing, which will benefit you and I. But we need money. People need to know.
And we need to do it now.
And it's information, it's nuance, and that's not people's forte nowadays.
Disinformation, says the texter, can flip logic and even basic math on its head. You're absolutely right.
Yep.
You're absolutely right. So thank you for that. We're going to move on.
Yeah.
4th of July is Thursday, and we're wondering about your 4th of July traditions. Is it going to a fireworks show? Is it shooting off fireworks for your neighborhood?
Is it protecting your dog from the scariness of fireworks?
Is there a dish you have to have when you set up the picnic table?
Is there
someone's favorite hot dish that the recipe that you want to share? What do you do for the 4th of July? What are your plans? 855-752-4842. Leave a comment on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and Twitter. Andrew from Maine says, I tried the whole lose a finger tradition, which I'm assuming is fireworks, but decided to go a different direction after years in fire and EMS. Yes, I have been to a guy who was peppered with bearings after homemade firework gone bad. That sounds really bad.
You lost me at homemade firework.
Yeah, don't do that.
Yeah.
I think that's a fair, let's not do this.
Yeah.
Make your own fireworks. Can we agree on that?
I guess we can't. Because this guy.
I mean, there's all kinds of fireworks places if you want to do fireworks.
I passed like three of them on the way home.
And they're pretty spectacular. I mean, what they do now is pretty spectacular for the stuff that you can actually buy.
And they're always having sales. Always. Buy three, get one free. Buy one, get three free. Sparklers, two for one. They're always deals. I am endorsed by no group.
Yet.
Exactly. Are you going to a party? Are you having a party? Is it a big one? Is it a small one? We're having a July 5th gathering, and I think Bridget and I might make it a tradition. Let everyone celebrate on the 4th, and then on the 5th you come over. I guess it has to be like a weekend because this just happens to be on a Friday. But just cooking out. We got a new grill. We're going to christen the grill.
What are you going to make?
We're going to make steaks. We're going to make hamburgers. I bought some spicy Thai sausages.
Ooh.
We're going to make chicken wings.
Wow.
Yeah, there's going to be a lot of food. And I think right now there's only four of us. So,
wow, you're going to be really well fed.
Yeah, Calvin, I saw that face you just made. Don't be jealous of my supreme I've grilled three times skills, okay?
Are you a new griller?
I'm a new griller. I look up everything on YouTube. I actually have... Bridget's friend loves steak. I said, tell me what she likes now. I'm going to look up some videos on how to perfectly cook that version of her steak because I don't want to overdo it, underdo it.
Right.
And I don't want this. It's fine.
It was nice. It was good.
No. I loved it. It was fine. It was good. It went from fine to I really loved it. That's all pity.
If they slather it in ketchup, that's probably not a good
sign. Get out of my house. I don't care if you do that.
Calvin.
Oh, I was grimacing not at your cooking skills. I was grimacing that you listed like six entrees and you're having four people.
That's what happens when you're married to the family I'm married to. If you go to a holiday party, and I love my in-laws, I am so lucky, but we have a whole Thanksgiving meal of like appetizers before the meal. So I have like half a plate of dinner. I'm like, I'm so full.
Because you're so full from all the apps.
Because who can say no to artichoke dip? Calvin, Jane, you can't. I know you can't.
I would crumble in the face of artichoke
dip. You're pure-blooded Americans. Who doesn't love artichoke dip?
What does your family do, Calvin, for the 4th?
We'll probably not do too much lately. We've just been going over to my aunt's house who has a pool.
Nice.
But yeah, I remember back when I was a kid, though, my dad's boss, well, former boss, her mom had a house, like a mansion, basically, on Oconomowoc Lake.
Nice.
So we went there, and we always felt really out of place because it's all, like, older people. And then my family shows up.
Oh, here's the Butenhoffs. Here they come.
I know that feeling when you walk into a place and immediately you're like, oh, I am out of place here. I got to keep my mouth shut because I will start making jokes and people will be like, who is this?
Why did you bring him?
Ugh.
Listener in Madison on WMDX, Columbus 4th of July festivities. My American dream is an overpriced funnel cake in my mouth. That's what you got to do.
That almost read like a haiku. Let's see here. Andrew from Maine reaching out again. Greg, you should really practice making the steaks every day between now and Thursday to make sure you get it right. Cool. Are you buying all those steaks, Andrew from Maine? Because I got a post office. I got a house. You can send them to me.
You can just Venmo him.
I was going to say. You can just
send the steak money.
Yeah. Greg's Steak Fund. P.O. Box 6868, Syosset, New York, 11725. Jane, what about you?
We used to when I was growing up because, again, my father was a mortician and we never took family vacations because
people die
and people make pre-arrangements and pay in advance for the services.
Yeah.
And so you better be there if Aunt Betsy kicks.
So your family never had like an outside the family associate working there who, if you wanted, okay.
So he had a couple, he had one good friend who was also a mortician and slinger.
Yeah.
And they would try and spell each other, but.
They would try to what?
Spell each other. So you want to take a week off, I'll cover for you.
Gotcha.
I want a week off, you'll cover for me. But they didn't take a vacation alone for decades. So we had a little place on a lake outside of Hartford. It was like 10 minutes outside of Hartford. And so that's where we were all summer, certainly on the 4th of July. But we all learned how to water ski and
that sounds great.
And swim. And yeah, it was. It was fabulous. And play jarts. Look out.
Calvin, do you know what jarts are?
I'm familiar.
What do you loosely. What are you familiar with? What do you know about them?
Well, so jarts, are they not just like large darts that you throw and they like land in the ground type of thing?
Oh, correct.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Essentially, it was a big flying heavy metal weapon.
Yes.
Is what it was. And you tried to get into a circle.
Yes. Or
that was the target.
You threw it at your best friend, David Kirschbaum, to see if he was made of the kind of material that could, you know, keep one of those things from entering his body.
Did you hit your friend with a jar?
No, I had a terrible arm. No, we actually, what we did was we got tired of trying to get in the circle, and we had this wooden shed in our backyard. And one day we just threw it and it stuck in the door just a little bit. I'm like, oh, this is fun. Let's do it again. And then I really let it rip.
Oh, boy.
And it went halfway through the door. And this is what Greg Bach, criminal genius, thought would be the best solution. Found a piece of wood in my dad's, you know, unused wood pile.
Oh, great.
And just hammered it over the hole.
They'll never see
it. You'll never see. And by the way, the shed was painted brown. The wood was natural light pine. So really, if anything, I was certainly calling attention to it. So I was never going to make it as a
criminal.
As a heister, a bank robber. I would have never. Terrible.
Just so, not your calling.
Yeah.
Not your calling.
But yeah, jarts, exactly what Calvin said. And if you don't know what they are, look them up. They were made illegal because they were killing people.
Absolutely. And again, I can't believe, I mean, we had them for years.
Yes.
We had them for years. And it's amazing they stayed on the market that long.
Yeah.
It really is. And then once I finally realized many years later, and I always made the joke that, well, my parents had six kids, so they figured if they lost two, we still got four of them. It's fine. Let them play jarts. Got Chris Casper in Madison says, we used to throw them straight up in the air and then scatter.
Yeah, same. And here's the thing is, it is a piece of steel with a, not a pointy tip, but enough to go into the ground.
And enough to pierce your flesh, certainly.
And then when they're like, how do we make this even better? Let's place plastic wings on them to help them build up speed.
Even better idea.
Yes.
Great idea.
Lawn jarts. What a wonderful invention.
What did you play with on the 4th of July? How did you try to kill yourself as a child?
What did you play with? Is it still legally allowed
still
to be bought?
Is it still legal? 855-752-4842. 855-75-CIVIC. Leave a comment on the live stream, Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter, text her. My little sisters were playing lawn darts. The littlest one got hit. And my dad told her, if you aren't going to duck, goose. But a bump.
Your dad was a lot cooler than mine when he saw that hole in the shed.
That's really funny that you tried to patch it up with a different colored wood. That was so smart. The other thing my father loved, and again, he was a mortician, and I think that's one of the reasons we all found this so funny. It was called a Polish cannon, and it was made out of Mountain Dew cans specifically. It had to be Mountain Dew cans, and you would have maybe four Mountain Dew cans that just, and then you duct taped them together to make a tube.
Yes.
And at the bottom was a little hole where you put in some lighter fluid.
Oh, boy.
And then you dropped a tennis ball in it.
Oh, man.
And you lit the lighter fluid.
Hey, kids, don't try this at home.
And the tennis ball would go kaboom.
Why was it called a Polish cannon?
I have no idea. If someone could explain that to me, I would appreciate it. We can't be the only ones who grew up with this. My father would laugh. Like it was just so joyful to see him have so much fun with such a silly thing. I would watch him for an hour do that. And we would all chase the ball, and you know, the ball would go down the hill and we'd all run it back and watch him do it again. And he would just howl. It was hilarious.
The Polish?
A Polish cannon. Am I the only one?
Yeah, I've never heard of this.
855-752-4842. 855-75-CIVIC. I don't know why it was called Polish cannon, but
sounds like a knock on my people.
No, I don't think it was intentional.
I'm trying to now think of, yeah. I mean, the only thing I had that was like weird back in those days was the fact that, you know, you could buy a toy gun that looked like a real gun and we would play guns. And if our little toy gun had an orange tip on it, oh, we'd paint that black. Because, man, we want to look cool.
You want to look real. You want to look real.
I hung out with some real dumb kids. And the thing is, I'd love to say I was the leader of it, but you saw my trying to cover up wood with wood. Mm-mm. I was like a henchman. I was like a Lola. I got lunch for that little group of kids. I was terrible. It was so weird.
Reminiscing about childhood. Yes, reminiscing about childhood. If you had a toy that was potentially deadly, you can always share that with us at 855-752-4842 or leave a comment on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and Twitter. Whatever you do for the 4th of July, I hope you're safe. We hope you're safe.
Yes.
Please be careful on the roadways. If you're going to have fireworks, great. Please be careful and use them respectfully. And Robert from McFarland posted a video on YouTube on how to make a Polish cannon.
I'm not putting that in the show notes. We're liable. I'm not going to do that.
It's just on your own, people.
I've heard from the lawyers. Find it yourself.
You're on your own. All right, stay with us. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. Welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Box, Sweet Kelby on the board. You can always join us. We're in downtown Waukesha. You can call, you can text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and Twitter, talking generally about the 4th of July, what your traditions are, any traditional foods or things you have to have at your cookout or games you play. We were talking about jarts. We got off on a little sidetrack about Polish cannons, which made my father laugh like just about nothing else. Tom from New Berlin says, hey, Jane, we upped the Polish cannon, which we use. My dad made it using soda cans, Mountain Dew cans in particular. Why that was a special thing, I have no idea. We upped the Polish cannon by using quart cans taped together and a wad of paper for a tennis ball. It was loud.
How did the... So... If I'm reviewing this correctly in my head, you put lighter fluid at the bottom, you put the tennis ball at the bottom.
You drop the tennis ball in the top, yeah. And then you light it at the bottom.
And then the...
Lighter fluid goes, and it shoots.
How does it not explode the cans? How does it not affect the cans itself?
They're just duct taped together.
But explosions are usually stronger.
But it's just lighter fluid.
I guess, yeah.
It's not like I'm putting a charge of dynamite in there.
Can I tell you that story? I meant to tell you the story in the previous segment. Went to a 4th of July party once. A house way out in the woods. Everyone brought some fireworks. Nothing big, nothing whatever. This one guy, he pulls out this white tube that has red, white, and blue wrapped around it. And it looks like just like a big one, you know, whatever. I forget about it. Talking to somebody.
Uh-oh.
All of a sudden I hear a kaboom that rattles the house and everyone stops and what happens. And we found out that he had brought a quarter stick of dynamite to a party. Yeah. He wrapped it in red, white, and blue because he wanted it to be festive. My festive dynamite that, you know, blew a 3-foot hole in the ground.
Boy, are you lucky nobody got hurt.
Yeah, I was, yeah. But now I look back going, yeah, quarter stick of dynamite. That's weird. But also that group of friends back then, on brand.
Where are they now? Yes, never mind.
Jail.
Drake from Green Bay listening on WGBW. We just called them tennis ball cannons. They eventually changed up the size of the cans to ruin everything.
Well, you know.
See, we can't keep nice things.
Respecting my people. Polish cannon. Whatever.
Tennis ball cannon.
Thank you. Be just sensitive.
That's what my dad called it back in the day when we had horses.
I was going to say, I didn't know Mountain Dew was around back then.
It was a really early version. A really, really early version of Mountain Dew. If you have any other traditions you would like to share with us, 855-752-4842. Washington Post is out with a list of their favorite red, white, and blue recipes for the 4th of July.
All right.
This is a crime.
The article?
Watermelon and tomato salad.
Oh.
That's just wrong.
Why?
Watermelon, tomato, and a red onion create a rainbow of red hues in this refreshing salad. Yeah, it's nice to look at watermelon, tomatoes, and red onions. And I like all three of those things.
Yeah.
Not together.
The thing is, I can't knock it simply because I haven't tried it. And I used to really, really knock Hawaiian pizza, cheese on apple pie, because it just didn't sound right to me.
Sure.
And then one day I was like, I'll try it. And they're like, oh, this is so good. And I was wrong. And I have to tell everyone that I was wrong.
Because you like pineapple on pizza.
I love pineapple and ham on pizza. Oh my gosh. The sweet and the salty coming together is one. Please give me more.
Well, if anybody can defend the watermelon and tomato and onion salad, I'd love to hear from you.
Okay, folks, I'm just letting you know, we've apparently scratched an itch with this whole canon thing.
Oh, gosh.
Some of these texts we can't read, I feel like, legally, because you are instructing us how to make
canon
weapons. So we love your memories. They're so enjoyable. But just short of putting the Anarchist Cookbook online.
Yeah, we probably won't share these.
Oh, my God.
Bob from McFarland, y'all ever made a tennis ball explode? Oh, Bob, I'm not going to read this. You're right. Yes. It's just all...
Y'all going to want to see a dead body.
Homemade bombs and homemade explosives. I think that's a bad idea.
We really... I mean, seriously, the amount of explosives in the text line right now is worrisome.
Well...
Worrisome.
We've always had this tradition of blowing things up, apparently. And how that ever started as a tradition on the 4th of July, I will never understand.
Well, the Chinese invented fireworks back in the 15th century.
Right.
Yeah. And then
how that translated, I'm not quite sure.
In 1776, some guy named Stu was like, pretty. And then that just became the thing.
It was Stu.
It was Stu's fault.
From 1776.
I have thoughts on, we can't get into today because we're coming up against the break. But I do think we could peel back the fireworks just a little bit. Like, go see your municipalities. Go see the big, you know, whatever. It's not happening this year in Milwaukee.
Right.
But I'm just, now because Maybelle. I'm so nervous. Like, I told Bridget.
This is her first fourth.
It's her first fourth. I said, maybe we should have just a night in the basement. We have a finished basement. We have a TV. And maybe we just hang out
down
there.
Well, why don't you see how she reacts first?
She's already.
Okay.
They've been blowing things up since April.
Oh, my.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, and it gets her riled up just to begin with. So.
Well, yep. And that's another thing to keep in mind. Please keep your pets safe.
Yes.
Wednesday and Thursday and probably for all of the weekend as well. So a lot of dogs tend to run away, unfortunately, if they get spooked by fireworks. So keep that in mind. Yeah. All right. News is coming up next. And then Todd Alba with the wonderful Todd Alba Show from noon to 2. Maggie Dawn from 2 to 4 p.m. I have a feeling Maggie will be talking, just perhaps a little bit about the Supreme Court decision giving Donald Trump immunity. Not complete and total immunity, but pretty darn close.
And every president immunity. Take it, Joe Biden.
Yeah, take it, Joe Biden. And we will talk about that tomorrow with Jim Santel. He will be joining us at 10:33, so I hope you can join us as we try and break down these really impactful Supreme Court decisions that have all come over in the last week and a half or so. So thank you for joining us. Thank you, Greg and Calvin and all of our engineers. Without you, nothing works. Thank you most of all for calling and texting and listening. It absolutely means the world. I hope you find some joy today and you have the chance to share it. Stay close. News is next, coming to you across the Civic Media Radio Network. See you tomorrow.